Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, and every Monday, we always talk a little bit about Texas wheat and the wheat industry with Ms. Steely Fischbacher, Director of Policy at Texas Wheat. How are you doing today, Ms. Steely?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Of course. Thank you for coming out. I know that the wheat industry, we've kind of wrapped up our harvest almost throughout the country. But we got a short turnaround season. We're about to start planting again. How are things planning out for that, Ms. Steely?
Well, what we have our eye on right now is, you know, recent moisture has been in the forecast, especially over the weekend. We had really high chances. Hopefully, that will be able to help us as we move into, you know, the height of our planting period. Those farmers who've been trying to get wheat in the ground following recent rainfall or hoping for recent rainfall, you know, if they got some of that moisture, hopefully that will help with emergence and early development for that early grazing potential. Really something that we almost completely missed out on last year is we just didn't have as much grazing potential out there because of our dry conditions. So really hopeful, but at the same time, we have to kind of balance that with an understanding of where we are at currently. So 85% of our state is in severe drought or worse. We're well below, you know, our annual averages for rainfall. When you look at the Southern Plain, so that's Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, our drought severity index right now is at 348. Last year, we were at 18. So it really tells you the full picture of the dry conditions we have throughout that hard red winter growing region. Our average would be 101. So again, 348 is quite a bit more severe drought conditions than what we would be on an average year. Our models that we're watching kind of for longer-term forecast indicate that we have, you know, a high probability of the La Nina event we're currently under extending through most of the winter. We really don't reach that highest probability for neutral conditions until March. So that doesn't bode well for kind of our long-term forecast here as we move into a new wheat year. But at the same time, you know, we may be receiving rainfall or precipitation. We won't know that full picture. We've looked at some updated guidance from USDA and NOAA over the last week or so, and they did show that drought, you know, their prediction for this fall and into early winter, that the drought conditions in Texas would persist but improve. So maybe some of these rainfall events we've seen here in the last month will help us with that. But that persist problem is likely to come if we see these forecasts play out the way that they're looking right now. So knowing we might have a challenging fall and winter in terms of rain and precipitation, that kind of goes back into those planting decisions that our growers are making right now. You know, a lot of farmers saved their own seed from what they were able to grow last year, but we also have, you know, a big portion of our growers who are looking for certified seed. We're hearing that there's certain varieties that are really hard to get hold of just because the seed was not available. We had reduced production in all of our fields, and that included our seed production. And so making sure that they make those contacts with their certified seed dealers as early as possible, seeing what's available and making those decisions is kind of top of mind right now. To help with that, Texas A&M AgriLife did put out their picks list. Specifically here for the High Plains. So if you're growing wheat in this region, they do have kind of some top recommendations. And I know that you were able to talk to Jordan Bell about that here recently. And for anybody looking for that information, we do have that up now on texaswheat.org. So as we kind of move through this planting period and they need additional information like that, that's a good resource to have.
Well, I know a huge thing this year has been, you know, a whirlwind of world events. You know, we've had the Ukraine event with Russia, the breadbasket of a lot of places in Eastern Europe with supply and demand. And we've struggled here in the U.S. because we just didn't have the rain and the precipitation that we needed to get a big and full crop this year. But I know that the USDA just came out with, you know, some supply and demand estimates. How did things look on that report?
What we saw mainly for the U.S. side of the report was an increase in exports. That was the biggest change in the numbers. They actually increased our export forecast by 25 million bushels.
Wow.
And so that actually lowered our ending stocks. So We're now forecast at 610 million bushels ending stocks, which is the lowest level in 9 years. So when you think about, you know, what type of supply do we have in the United States, that's from lower production that we've seen over the last 2 years. This previous year was drought in the Southern Plains, and the year before that was, you know, lower production in the Pacific Northwest because of severe drought that they had. So we've kind of whittled down on our U.S. supply after, you know, a period of really high U.S. supplies on hand. And so we're kind of getting our way back into not just an average, we've now fallen below that. And as I mentioned, lowest levels in the last 9 years. We're projected at 114 days of use on hand at the end of the marketing year. And the season average farm price came in for this report at $9.25. So that's quite a bit of a reduction from the $10.50 we saw in the previous month. And then when we're looking at where our futures prices are now, you know, hard to tell what exactly is going to happen in the futures market between now and next harvest. We have a lot of time there and a lot of events, like you mentioned, that could happen that would weigh on our wheat prices one way or the other. But right now, that 925 is still at a very high level compared to what we've seen in recent history. Well, on the global side of that report, we saw an increase in global production. And that's kind of a trend that we've been seeing for many years, actually forecasted a new record this year. One of the largest producers for wheat and one that's growing year over year and is forecasted a record high for this year as well as Russia. Their exports are actually forecast at record high for the year. But when we look at their, you know, export sales, you know, what they've actually been able to load on a boat and send out to their customers, they've been really slow compared to what they would typically be at this point in the year. So a lot of eyes are watching that figure to see, are they going to be able to reach that really high export projection that's out there? And if not, what kind of impact will that have on our wheat prices? At the same time, so we've seen increasing global production. That's mostly offset in the report by lower beginning stocks and higher use. We continue to see higher global wheat use year over year, and so that's a really strong statistic that lends some support to, you know, the global supply and demand of wheat. Global days of use didn't change that much, you know, between the two monthly reports from July to August. But when we look at that figure without China, so China does not really play a role in the export market. They are a large importer of wheat, but they don't export a lot. Even though they are a very large producer, they tend to kind of hoard their supplies for their consumers in their country. We look at that global days of use without China at the end of the marketing year. That fell from last year's 76 days to now 69. We're at a really low level for global supplies of wheat in our countries that would typically be exporting. So that's something also to keep an eye on. And then obviously you mentioned Ukraine. They have established the grain corridor and are moving grain out of Ukraine. That has weighed on our wheat market. And that's going to be something that we'll have to continue to monitor and watch as we move through this marketing year.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's good to hear the numbers and what's going on worldwide as well as domestically. And a huge thing this year, you know, we've faced a lot of drought, maybe some places, even when the cotton industry get hailed out every once in a great while and have to, you know, file insurance. And crop insurance is a huge portion of the farm bill, and a lot of farmers rely on crop insurance some years. What are things looking like for crop insurance for the wheat industry?
Well, that's right. It's an important time to be looking at that. You know, our farmers will be purchasing and signing those contracts by the end of September as their sales closing date. And right now we're in the time where we're setting that base price for that policy, for specifically for the revenue policies. That's open from the middle of August through the middle of September. We're still in the very early days of setting that price, but at the end of last week, it was around $8.53. We compare that back to our final base price in the previous year, and that was $7.08. So we're still quite a bit above what we would have been at this point last year, but that price is set by averaging out the closing futures price of the day for that period between mid-August and mid-September. And so we have to really watch what's happening in the futures market. And we are not seeing gains in the hard red winter wheat contract right now. You know, we've had a lot of pressure on those prices. We've actually returned back to pre-war levels, you know, back in January or late February before we had the invasion in Ukraine. So we're having to watch that and see what's impacting that futures price that then will impact those crop insurance policies. So one of them I mentioned was the grain corridor. That we've seen some success there. They've been able to successfully load and get those grain exports out to their destination. Well, that's a very tenuous process, I think, and so something that could change. Also, we've seen a really disappointing week for wheat export sales. Mentioned that Russia should be having really high export sales right now. U.S. should as well. You know, we're finished with our harvest now. We have a lot of wheat coming on the market. We should be having higher export weekly numbers than what we're seeing right now. And then the rainfall that was forecast over the southern plains, you know, most of those forecasts missed a large portion of Oklahoma as well as Kansas, which are in very important growing regions. So have to see how that maybe evens out in the coming weeks. If we see continued dryness in that region, that will certainly have an impact, as well as a surging U.S. dollar. You know, it really hurts us to be competitive overseas when we have a really strong dollar. It just makes those export sales that I mentioned were a bit disappointing. It makes them even more difficult when we have, you know, that working against us. So all of those factors are kind of playing in the wheat market right now. And I just think it's important for us to understand that as we watch and understand how that will play into our crop insurance coverage for the coming year. You know, we've seen a little bit of relief in some of our input prices, at least at the commodity level. You know, for some of our fertilizer prices and diesel, they've come down just a bit, but they're still very highly inflated, especially compared to like 2 years ago. And so, you know, our operating costs are still just at a very high level. And if we don't maintain these higher prices in our wheat prices, it can be very hard to make that pencil out. So that's a big priority at this time as well, is just managing those input costs and understanding the relationship there between what our grain prices are expected to do this year.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. Right now, making sure that we're watching how are things going in our books, managing what's coming in, what's coming out. I know a lot of things are a little more pricey than what we've ever expected, and a lot of things are hard to come by. Chemicals, fertilizers, seed, everything else in between across all commodities. But a huge thing that's been a big relief for some farmers has been ERPs, you know, during droughts and wildfires and anything that happens to their crop throughout the year can file with that. How are things turning out with that ERPs for those wheat producers?
Well, we've had several growers, you know, qualify for the emergency relief program and receive significant payments that help offset some of those losses. The most recent update that we have from USDA came out last week that they are still sending out letters for those who qualified under phase one. So we'll remember that phase one did have a sign-up deadline that has been extended. So we still do not have our new deadline. So phase one is still open, and they are still reaching out to producers who may be eligible. So be watching your mailboxes, seeing if you're one of the recipients of these letters, specifically those who had countywide insurance policies. So an SCO or an ECO that you stacked on top of your multi-peril policy, those letters are just now being sent out, as well as kind of some revisions. They've gone back and looked at some prevent plant claims. It's not typically a big practice that happens here in the panhandle. We're usually too dry to plant, not too wet. But that is another portion of these letters that are going to be going out, are those individuals who qualify who may have been left out in earlier mailings due to that prevent plant claim. Also, there have been some changes and fixes to the AGI calculation, specifically for the sale of farm equipment and things like that, and how that's included in that AGI calculation. So if you have a problem, you know, qualifying for the program due to AGI, you might look at those new rules and how that's now being calculated, because that could be you know, a real change for you in your personal operation and if you qualify for that payment. So that's kind of what we're seeing on ERP. Phase two is still to come. That will be primarily focused on those folks who did not purchase crop insurance, didn't have NAP, that kind of thing. And so we may have some growers who qualify in phase two, but that is still to come. And right now they're trying to finish up and wrap up these kind of special conditions or more nuanced applications under phase one.
Well, if you can out there, this is a great program, great funding provided by, you know, the USDA and making sure that, you know, this is something that we can keep. We're working on it with the Farm Bill to keep this a program that's there for a long time to be great for those ERPs out there. But Ms. Steele, if anybody has any questions about Texas wheat or needs to get a hold of somebody at Texas Wheat, how can they do so?
Yeah, so visit our website, texaswheat.org, or you can give us a call at the office. Our number is 806-352-2191.
Again, Ms. Steele, thank you so much for coming out every week, talking a little bit about the wheat industry and what's happening with Texas wheat. So thank you again for coming out.
Sure thing. Thanks, Bryce.